Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, lots of good news to talk about here this morning with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Of course, every Monday we get to your business news here, get your work week started, although I know some of you, the work week never ends. Evelyn Pyburn, though, great to have you here. Hey, why not start with breakfast with our good news, right? The price of eggs, the price of eggs has apparently gone down significantly here since Trump took office.
Well, yes, I'm not too sure how much Trump has had to do with it, but the cost of eggs is coming down. I just read a report about why the cost of eggs is so much higher in the U.S. than in Canada and Mexico, who are also fighting the Asian flu, and it was rather interesting. Both of those countries impose price controls, not just on eggs, but lots of things, which would likely make it harder to get eggs at any price. And Mexico has a much lower cost of production. But most interesting, however, given all the talk about tariffs, is that Canada imposes, quote, high custom tariffs on eggs to prevent foreign products from flooding the Canadian market. Also, the Canadian system allows national agencies or their federal government representing groups of farmers to restrict production and set production quotas for each province. So they have a very government-controlled market. A valid point that was made, however, is that the U.S. growers are killing huge flocks of birds to fight the flu, which Mexico does not do. They try to inoculate the birds individually. And Canada does, they kill flocks of birds, but their flocks are much, much smaller, so rather than killing millions of birds all at once, they kill thousands. But that was just kind of interesting about the different ways the three countries are handling it, and the fact that, oh yeah, there's some tariffs on our products going into Canada.
Yeah. It's always funny how it's like, the moment we try to do it to them, it's really bad. But when they do it to us, we're just supposed to sit here and just take it. And yeah, I love that line where you said, well, yeah, the price of eggs are going down, but I'm not sure how much President Trump is responsible for it or not. I had to laugh because, you know, the day before Trump took office, the price of eggs were already astronomical. But then Donald Trump takes office, and then the next day, all of his critics are out there. Donald Trump is the reason the price of eggs is so high. But then now that the price of eggs is coming down, they're going to say, well, Donald Trump had nothing to do with that. but I know the egg secretary, Rollins, I know she implemented a plan to try to, you know, divert away from the path that Biden had us on, where it was just, hey, let's just kill all the chickens and hope that that we stop the bird flu. And then that's part of what got us into the jam that we were in. All right, that's we started with breakfast for your good news here this morning, and some good high protein breakfast there as well, talking about eggs. What about Montana's economic numbers? These new GDP numbers, we're beating South Dakota. That's the way I read this. We'll have Evelyn Pyburn break down the latest GDP numbers for Montana right after this.
Securing America.
During an early Sunday joint news conference with the Japanese defense minister, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reiterated the U.S.'s commitment to its Asian ally.
It is clear to me that our alliance is the cornerstone of peace and security in the Indo-Pacific.
While stating that the two countries are united in their goals of continuing freedom.
America and Japan stand firmly together in the face of aggressive and coercive actions by the communist Chinese.
Hegseth announced the U.S. will now place a joint military commander in Japan, which the secretary says will lead to increased cooperation in real time.
Support U.S. operations and help Japan and U.S. forces defend this territory.
Hegseth adding that America first does not mean America alone. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump's attacks on some of the world's biggest law firms is drawing a surge in media attention. The latest is Skadden Arps, which agreed to pay $100 million in free services to the White House rather than be targeted with an executive order. This follows Paul Weiss, which agreed to provide $40 million in pro bono work, again, to avoid an executive order, which, by barring these firms from reviewing classified material, makes it very hard for them to provide help to their corporate clients. Now, three other firms have sued the administration and won an initial battle in court, saying this is unfair for them to be singled out. And often it's just a single lawyer, a former prosecutor like Bob Mueller, who was part of the firm, and therefore the president is seeing them as hostile and striking back. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I thought this might be the good news that we would start with here, especially since I just got back from Rapid City, South Dakota. We had a volleyball tournament to go to in Rapid City over the weekend. And so, yeah, let's look at these numbers here. A new report from the 9th District of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, which covers Montana. Apparently, these numbers look at five states. And Evelyn Pyburn, if I'm reading this right, in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, Montana is number one right now.
Yes, it is. The latest data shows that Montana has a GDP of 117.7 as compared to the next highest state, which is South Dakota, at 111.7. We are also producing at a higher level than the average, than the U.S. average, which is 114.5. And most interesting, we have had a very steep incline in the increase of our GDP ever since COVID, exceeding all other states in the district by a wide margin. The graph is really pretty dramatic and kind of leaves you wondering, holy cow, how did we do that? Probably coming as no surprise in that same report, Montana also has the highest percentage employment per 100 people than other states in the 9th District, and that too has been steadily rising. Montana's ratio is 111.3 as compared to the next highest, again, South Dakota, at 106.5. The national average is 106.3. So I guess the lesson to take from there is if you have lots of people working, you're going to produce more stuff, and that seems to be what we've been doing. One of the things they did include the mention of the cost of living, but they didn't really break it down by state. So I scrounged around and found a place on the website that did. And the cost of living in the district for Montana is that not only is Montana one of the lowest cost of living states, but except for Butte, Billings has the lowest cost of living in the state among the cities. In calculating the cost of living for 1 month, the cost of living in Montana in general is $2,032, which is 1.1 times less expensive than the average in the United States. Montana ranked 34th most expensive. Cost of living comparisons, Billings comes out on top as being less expensive overall than Missoula, with Billings at $1,804 compared to Missoula at $2,054. Great Falls at $2,007. And not surprising, Bozeman is the highest at $2,616. Butte is $1,632, and Helena is $2,327. So even if you, when you're shopping, you think, holy cow, prices are high, well, we know that they could be hired someplace else.
So if you're listening in Billings right now and you think, man, the cost of living just seems crazy, well, our listeners in Bozeman will tell you, no, it's even crazier here. And our even in Great Falls, they'll say, nope, it's even crazier there. But our listeners on KXDL in Butte right now have it just a little bit easier with the cost of living. Back to the Montana GDP numbers in Montana, even beating South Dakota right now with the latest gross domestic product numbers. That's very interesting. Obviously, I think Montana had a bigger post-COVID boom than maybe even some of our neighbors. I wonder, though, if that's what our GDP is doing right now, imagine if we get these mines up and running, you know, these mining operations. Imagine if we get these mines up and running near Libby and Troy. Imagine once we get the copper mine up and running near White Sulphur Springs. Imagine if we make our timber industry great again. I mean, if our GDP is outpacing South Dakota right now, South Dakota's done very well for themselves, right? Imagine how we'll really be rock and rolling once we get those other things going.
And South Dakota has a history of being very fiscally sound and productive. So to come out ahead of them is really a feather in the cap, I think. And the other thing I think it will help in the future for Montana is if we get these taxes lowered, that's a guarantee almost of higher production because, you know, people have more money to invest and to purchase. So
that's right. That's the point I was going to make, too, is that, okay, South Dakota, yeah, they made more conservative fiscal reforms, you know, tax policy, et cetera, before Montana did because the conservative wave swept South Dakota before it finally swept Montana post-COVID-19 in particular. I mean, it started in 2016 with Trump and then solidified in 2020, but here we had, you know, Governor Gianforte and the Republican-led legislature lowered taxes in the 21 session. They lowered taxes in the 23 session. And that's paying off, I think, in these GDP numbers on top of the post-COVID boom. We get you know, our mining industry great again. We get our timber industry great again. And then I think that will help the wages for working class Montanans, for everyday Montanans as well. But now the governor and the legislature is looking to cut not only property taxes, but looking to cut income taxes once again. That's another good news story, if you ask me. Evelyn Pyburn has the details in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. So for them, some of you who are wondering, okay, what is the governor's proposal regarding income tax relief? They had a big rally with Americans for Prosperity Montana at the Capitol Friday. We'll go to that story right after this, right here with Montana Talks. And then we've got open phones starting around 7:30 for you.
This is House Call for Health. If you use a smartwatch to track daily steps or heart rate, there may be another measure to get a better idea of heart health. Researchers say dividing a person's daily heart rate by their daily number of steps provides a more reliable measure of their heart fitness than either number on its own. They analyzed data from nearly 7,000 American adults who provided Fitbit data and their electronic health records to a National Institutes of Health research program. They found people with a higher heart rate per step were almost twice as likely to have type 2 diabetes, heart failure, and high blood pressure. No relationship was found between the new measure and risk of either stroke or heart attack. Researchers say heart rate per step could be used to identify people who might benefit from more heart health screening or from exercises that would improve their heart function. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
We're not adults, so just be there and, like, listen. I just want someone to yap to. And I just feel like I'll be fine, like, if someone just hears me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
You're doing a really good job. And I don't think I tell you that enough. And I know sometimes we get into it and it's just hard on both of us. But you'll try to understand me more and I'll try to do the same.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Survey results showed U.S. farmers plan to plant more corn while cutting back on soybeans and wheat acres. For the fifth year in a row, Farmers Business Network has published its planting intentions report for major crops. FBN's estimates were derived from a survey of almost 1,000 U.S. farmers that represent 2 million acres of total production. These survey results were published less than a week before USDA is set to release its latest projections in the prospective plantings report scheduled for later today. So will the two reports line up? We'll just have to wait and see. In other news, ag producers who have not yet enrolled in the Agriculture Risk Coverage, ARC, or Price Loss Coverage, PLC programs for the 2025 crop year have until April 15th of this year to revise elections and sign their contracts. Both safety net programs are delivered by USDA's Farm Service Agency. Ag Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage programs provide excellent risk protection for market declines at no cost to the producer, according to the agency. If you haven't made your program election or signed a contract, please contact your local FSA county office as soon as possible to set an appointment so you don't miss the April 15th deadline. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I tell you, you guys, you got to sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Get it in your email inbox if you haven't got it yet. Evelyn has a great quote here from the late economist Milton Friedman, who famously declared that nothing is so permanent as a temporary government program. A great tidbit in the hot sheet this week. Evelyn, let's see here. I think this is another good news story. I think we will see more income tax relief out of this current legislative session underway in Helena right now. Governor Greg Gianforte is supporting a specific income tax cut. This is across the board income tax relief. That's the type of relief that I favor as well, too. I think, look, everybody is paying taxes. Everybody deserves the relief, right? We shouldn't be picking winners and losers with this particular tax policy. And the governor had a big rally with Americans for Prosperity Montana on Friday pushing his tax proposal.
Yes, Senate Bill 323, which was introduced by Senator Josh Kasmier from Fort Benton. I'm not sure if I got his last name right. But
I think it's Kasmier, if I remember right. Yeah.
Okay, well, the proposal includes the largest income tax cut in the state's history, reducing the income tax rate for most Montanans pay from 5.9% to 4.9%. It provides $850 million in permanent income tax relief, the largest in state history. Montana currently has the highest income tax rate in the Rocky Mountain West. That was from the governor. But, you know, we don't have a sales tax, and I think that pushes up our income tax rate. But anyway, the Americans for Prosperity supports Senate Bill 323 because it is the best tax reform policy that has hit the legislative session, according to Director of AFP Henry Kriegel. He said that they stand behind the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act because it unleashed prosperity in America going back to 2017. He said we need make that permanent, otherwise tax rates increase. So I you know, given that the state still is generating a huge surplus in tax revenue, I think this is more than called for because, you know, it's not the state's role to create great treasure chests full of money. They're supposed to just pay, you know, tax us for what they need when they need it. And so I think this is very appropriate.
Well, and oftentimes what ends up happening is, yes, tax cuts are good because it's our money in the first place, but then the tax cuts stimulate the economy. That generates more revenue for the state, but then the state can take more revenue and then create bigger government, which can be a hindrance over the long haul. And so that's why we need to lower taxes and also lower spending and keep spending down in the state capital as well as in, back in Congress as well. But, yeah, I like the approach of the governor here. I've talked with Henry Kriegel about this as well, because most, almost all of us, if you are making, it used to be somewhere around $20,000 a year. If you make around $20,000 a year, I think it's a little higher now, you pay the top tax rate in Montana. So almost everybody pays the top tax rate. So just lower the top tax rate down, and that's effectively across the board income tax relief. Some Republicans, unfortunately, are playing the same game that the Democrats play. Well, we don't want those upper earners to also get tax rate relief. We just want this person over here to get tax relief. Okay, that's nonsense. That's class warfare. And the fact that even though we've lowered income taxes in the last two legislative sessions, we still have the highest income tax rate in the Rocky Mountain West. And as Evelyn just pointed out, we're sitting on a budget surplus. So give us our money back. It needs to be done once again. And there's still plenty of room for property tax relief as well. Most of the property taxes are paid at the local and county level anyway. But the state, I think, is still going to move forward with some property tax relief.
Yeah, I think some of the other proposals, too, if they come through, will be nothing more than just icing on the cake. But, like, you know, you were saying, the less taxes and the less government, the more production people are able to generate. And that's where our wealth comes from. That's where everything that's good about our standard of living and all of that comes when the people have the wealth in their hands and not in the government's hands. And it's good economics as well as good government.
That's right. That's right. Well said. Well, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, appreciate you having you on as always. Thanks for your insight. Appreciate your time.
You bet.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, and I encourage everybody sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet. That's the quick headlines email that comes out Sunday night / Monday morning. And then keep your eye out for the print edition. You can subscribe to the print edition as well. There's always a big summary page of business news all across Montana. So it's definitely something a little concerned. Harold Hamm, you know, the legendary Harold Hamm, Continental Resources, warning that if oil prices stay low, drilling in some of the prized shale oil fields could grind to a halt. With oil hovering near $65 a barrel, many U.S. fields are, quote, already on shaky ground, according to oilprice.com. While the industry was glad to see the rollback of Biden-era climate policies, President Trump's aggressive trade stance, they say, is creating concern. President Trump's aggressive trade stance, they say, is creating concern specifically with regard to Canada. Canada has placed downward pressure on crude oil prices, which shuts you down. ConocoPhillips CEO Ryan Lance, of course, is a Montana native and graduate of Montana Tech. He warned that inflationary pressures are creeping back into the system. Low oil prices are great for consumers. It's not so great for the companies pulling it out of the ground. Isn't that very interesting? So Trump is putting tariffs on Canadian oil. And remember, the refineries here in Montana, most of them, if not all of them, use Canadian oil because that oil is what these refineries are designed for, right? So everybody, you know, the critics of Trump were saying, well, Donald Trump's going to tariff, you know, Canadian energy and it's going to cost us more. But what they're saying is it's actually costing us less. So go figure. There we go. Here's another very interesting story in the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet this morning. A new poll shows that there is overwhelming support to end the Federal Department of Education. overwhelming support here. This is a poll that had over 31,000 responses. This comes from the Epoch Times, conducted the survey leading up to President Trump's executive order, which launched the process of dismantling the Department of Education and returning educational authority to state governments. The survey found near unanimous backing for reducing the Department of Education's workforce. 93% of respondents supported the move, with 85% saying they strongly agree. And, of course, what this move would do is not cut education funding. What it would do is shift that funding back to the states for state and local control. Now, that response just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, as we've pointed out here on this show before, we've had teachers and administrators in the schools here in Montana from both the left and the right complain about federal overreach in education. So let's assume there's $200 million from the Federal Department of Education that's supposed to come to Montana. Half of that is spent on regulatory compliance. Imagine if all of that actually went to educating your kids instead of to Washington, D.C. bureaucrats. Yeah, it just makes sense to everyday Montana.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in a couple callers here, and then I'll get to this message from Jay in Billings that came in earlier this morning on the Montana Talks app. First up on the phone lines, and the number for you, by the way, 406-294-0970, Buck in Bozeman. Buck, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Hey, calling to whine about fuel. I don't understand what's going on. So 2009, barrel was $65, right? And today a barrel is $65, which is down right around $22 from a year ago, right? But yet somehow gas prices are up like 3-4 cents a gallon. It doesn't make sense to me, because like 2009, $65 a barrel meant $2.15 a gallon. Today, $65 a barrel equals $3.33 a gallon.
That's a really good question. Yeah, maybe we got somebody listening who can explain that one for us. Because, yeah, and plus there are always, I know one of the other, you know, frequent complaints is it's like, okay, when the futures market and oil prices, you know, skyrocket, it always seems like it has a more immediate impact on the price at the pump. But then when the prices go down, like now you've got oil industry exports warning that the price of oil is going too low, it seems like it just takes its sweet little time dropping back down, doesn't it?
Well, the excuse is always how much they have in inventory, but inventory works on the way up as the same way it does on the way down. So I don't understand the excuse, because like you said, if we have a ship that bumps another ship in the ocean, we go up 5 cents. But we knock $20 a barrel off, and we ticker down zero, nothing. We go up 3 cents? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a constant source of frustration, that's for sure. All right, Buck, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. 406-294-0970. You know, we just got the business news update from Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Nancy in Roundup has a business update for us as well. Talk about the loss of an icon with this one as well. Nancy, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talks, Jimmy. Yes, we lost the Busy Bee. It's official. FEMA bought the old restaurant out. And I just want to say this. I'm not happy about what the city is planning on doing. As you don't know that part of Roundup the way we do. Roundup is a river town, and we flood. And that is one of the worst areas of flooding, the Meat House Road right across from the Busy Bee restaurant, because I told you before, the Mussel Shell River originally used to flow right behind where the restaurant is. And I'm going to tell you something. They plan on tearing the restaurant down, and that the city wants to build a park right there where the restaurant is with artificial turf. And that is absolutely the most ridiculous idea I've heard in a long, long time. I know we have a lot of yo-yos up here in official positions, but that is going to flood, and the artificial turf is going to be completely destroyed. It's a total waste of tax dollars. And then to make even worse, across the street where Meat House Road is, there's a U-Haul there on the corner. We have bailed out five different businesses there that were flooded in 2011 and in 2018. And now I ran into a surveyor a couple of weeks ago. He's telling me that a client of his wants to build a shop down there in the Meat House Road area. And I told him, you know, what I'm telling you, there's no way, because this floods out so bad. Plus a DEQ project that was put in after the flooding in 2018 has been totally destroyed because the commissioners in the city won't keep people out of there. They've been running over these flood barriers, and it's just a total waste of lack of common sense and off of tax dollars.
So even if you could build, could you insure it? So what do you think they should do? So for those who haven't heard, yeah, the Busy Bee Cafe, Nancy first told us the news probably a few weeks ago now. I saw a story in the official news here recently, but I was like, man, Nancy already gave us that news. Yeah, the Busy Bee in Roundup always been a landmark and an icon for 80 years. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, you know, we'd stop at the Busy Bee on the way to the state wrestling tournament in Billings, driving down from the High Line. It was a key landmark. You knew you were almost there. The trip was almost over. The long drive was almost to an end, and then you'd stop in and get some good breakfast. But, yeah, it's going away, and then FEMA is apparently going to have it demolished because it's in the floodplain. So if not a city park with turf, what should they do? Just leave it as open space?
Well, of course they should just leave it alone. I'm going to try and get on. I've been telling other people here in town about it. Nobody knows about it. But what gets me is that we had bailed out five businesses down there on Meat House Road. The one guy got $735,000 for his house and a shop that he had down there that flooded out. And we can't continue to do this. Now somebody else wants to build down there again. And now this is what I'm talking about. I don't know if the county or if the city is going to pull a fast one, the rug right out from under us, and let people rebuild down there, because there's no way in hell that we can continue or to allow the rebuilding down there in this floodplain, because we can't keep bailing these people out like that. I mean, it's just crazy.
All right. Well, Nancy, thanks for the call. Yeah, I saw that story here recently, and yeah, just sad to see the Busy Bee Cafe go. It's just one of those places that, like I say, you make that drive, you're so used to seeing it. And yeah, just another change on the landscape here. All right. Well, Nancy, thanks for the call. Yeah, be interesting to hear what some other folks have to say and what the local conversation is there. Obviously, you know, hey, if you've got private property in that floodplain area, I mean, you want to be able to have the ability to do something with it. But if you can't insure it, that raises another conversation. Okay, back to our Montana Talks messages here. This was one that came in earlier this morning. I told you we'd get to it here. Jay in Billings sent us a message about U.S. District Judge Don Malloy. Let me give you the news first if you missed it. So last night I put together a write-up for our Montana Talks website. A radical left-wing federal judge in Missoula, Montana, went on an anti-Trump screed during a sacred ceremony. This was a naturalization ceremony in Missoula at the federal court. And the word started getting out, because here you have people who came to this country legally, went through the process, likely waited years and years to become citizens of the United States of America, the greatest country on earth, and to become legal citizens. And then here they are at this, what many consider to be just a sacred ceremony. It's just, you know, it's a remarkable experience for the families and from everything I've heard from all the people that work for the court, the staff that work for these federal courts. It's always just you know, an incredible experience. And then this judge basically starts going on an anti-Trump rant at this naturalization ceremony. And so there were people who were mad. They're like, wow, we have our families here. Like, this is supposed to be a good day, a good event. And then this judge does this. Well, that's Don Malloy for you. This guy, I tell you what, you know, many folks would say that Judge Don Malloy has single-handedly destroyed the timber industry here in Montana. Think about how many working-class jobs were destroyed because of this radical left-wing judge. You know, some towns in western Montana have been described as poverty with a view. Why is there so much poverty in a land rich with resources? Donald Malloy. He's been a blank check for the Democrat Party and these radical environmental groups. Representative Kerry Seekins-Crowe was the first that I saw to call out Judge Malloy. This after he abused his position of power during a citizenship ceremony in Missoula to push his anti-Trump agenda. Representative Crowe said this, quote, "The participants who proudly went through the process to become citizens of the United States were not only shocked but also saddened to hear an authority figure, supposedly nonpartisan, put their new country in such a harsh light." She added that Malloy is a federal judge serving on senior status for the U.S. District Court. He is not nonpartisan. And while he may be the most egregious example of a judge who does not maintain professional competence in the law and is swayed by partisan interests, he is not the only one. By the way, hats off to Roy McKenzie with Western Montana News. He got the transcript from the court and confirmed this news that Judge Malloy went on an anti-Trump spree. Jay in Billings said this about Judge Malloy, "What a hack. His talk of factions is disingenuous and a misdirection. He himself represents the evil of its abuses. The truth, this hack advances his partisan rhetoric as a means to the end of our republic and the end of our self-governance." That was from Jay in Billings on Judge Malloy.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, "Hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve." And it does, without me lifting a finger. So I can get in more squats anywhere I can. 1, 2, 3.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. 4.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps, requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
Fox News commentary.
Jasmine Crockett is in hot water over her Hot Wheels comment, and her excuse is landing like a lead balloon. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Texas Rep. Jasmine Crockett managed to unlock a new low by making fun of Texas Governor Abbott for being wheelchair-bound. She thought she was mighty funny nicknaming him Hot Wheels in front of a packed crowd at a human rights event of all places. Texas Governor Abbott is indeed wheelchair-bound, and he has been since his mid-20s when he was paralyzed in a tragic accident. Even tone-deaf Jasmine knows that little Hot Wheels joke went over like a lead balloon, so she came up with a wild explanation to pass it off. In a statement, she tried to make us believe she referred to wheelchair-bound Governor Abbott as Hot Wheels because he bussed and flew migrants to blue cities. Yeah, sure, but even worse, when confronted by reporters over her horrible choice of words, she refused to offer an apology. Jasmine Crockett is making Democrats look bad, and while that's not hard to do, it is shameful. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
We're not adults, so just be there and, like, listen. I just want someone to yap to. And I just feel like I'll be fine, like, if someone just hears me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
You're doing a really good job. And I don't think that's how you get it enough. And I know sometimes we get into it, and it's just hard on both of us. But you'll try to understand me more, and I'll try to do the same.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's Sound It Out.
Vintage and Handmade Market this Friday and Saturday at the Metro Park Expo Center. It will be junk-tastic.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
I know it's not Thursday. It's only Monday. Sorry to break it to you, but we got a woke update for you. We'll talk more about the woke update here maybe over the next couple hours of the show here. Phone lines will be open for most of the 9 o'clock hour today. Let me think. We'll probably kick off the hour, the 8 o'clock hour, some open phones time as well, and then a couple of great guests are going to join us later on in the 8 o'clock hour. I'll tell you about that later. But here's your woke update of the week here. Well, we'll see. We'll probably get something crazier by Thursday. I told you about the University of Montana back in the 6 o'clock hour. UM starts removing multi-gender bathrooms after state bill is signed. So apparently all they had to do was change some signage. The University of Montana had a bunch of signs on their bathrooms about all genders bathrooms, something crazy like that. And so now that there's a bill to protect women's safe spaces, they've got the bathrooms marked. These ones are for men. These ones are for women. And so, okay, so big deal. They had to change their signage. Lottie freaking da. What about Montana State University? That's right. No, MSU, you're not getting off the hook either. You got your share of woke nonsense just like UM does. This is kind of a funny one. This was from the MSU exponent that the Bozeman Daily Chronicle printed here. Montana State renames the Diversity and Inclusion Student Commons. MSU's Diversity and Inclusion Student Commons has recently undergone a name change and is now called the Student Commons. But what's crazy about the story is the Diversity and Inclusion Commons is still going to push the same woke, racist agenda. They're just going to call it another name, you know, to try to be in compliance with, the non-DEA guidance or DEI guidance that's coming out. Speaking of woke DEI, you know, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, Congresswoman DEI, as somebody referred to her, she is on a roll, isn't she? She's such a phony. You know, you see video of her when she ran for Congress, and she acted all nice. Now she's put on this fake accent. She put on these big, big, big fake eyelashes. I mean, no problem with fake eyelashes, but these things are monstrous. She's got, like, mops hanging off her face. Anyway, she's on a roll. Here's a Jasmine Crockett montage from the Big Weekend show on Fox.
If we continue to put people into office, and that even means some of our skin folk who definitely are not our kin folk, such as Byron Donalds, who are going to continue to say that, like, I mean, the fact that you're sitting around talking about life was better under Jim Crow, like, is this because you don't understand history? Or literally it's because you married a white woman and so you think that that whitewashed you? I'm not really sure.
And we know comments like this are nothing new for the unhinged congresswoman, who has now surged to the top of the Democrat Party.
Y'all know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot mess, honey. It's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? All I want to see happen on my birthday is for Elon to be taken down.
Let me tell you, we have a thug in charge of the United States.
We are going to be in your face. We are going to be on your... We are going to make sure you understand what democracy looks like.
If you could speak directly to Elon Musk, what would you say?
Yeah, there you go. That's Democrat Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, the new AOC, the newest member of the squad. But yeah, How crazy is that? Not only the thing she said about Ted Cruz, not only the thing she said about the governor of Texas who uses a wheelchair, what she said about Elon Musk, but she is attacking Byron Donalds for being married to a white woman. This is the type of racism. That's what it is. This is the type of racism that is celebrated in today's Democrat Party. Celebrate racism on display and celebrated by the Democrat Party.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The first black Republican woman to serve in the House has died. Former Utah Republican Representative Mia Love suffered from brain cancer. Doctors diagnosed Love with cancer in 2022. She recently published a farewell message in the Salt Lake City-based Deseret News. She also said that the cancer was no longer responding to the treatment. Love is a mother of three. She first emerged nationally at the Republican National Convention in 2012. That's where former Utah Senator Mitt Romney won the party's nomination for president. She also ran for Congress that year, narrowly losing to Democratic Representative Jim Matheson. When Matheson retired 2 years later, Love won the race. Love then lost to former Democratic Utah Representative Ben McAdams in 2018. In her farewell message, Love said, quote, "Some have forgotten the math of America. Whenever you divide, you diminish." Adding, quote, "The goodness and greatness of our country is multiplied when neighbors help neighbors." Mia Love was 49 years old. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.